You know, 11 o'clock sharp each and every Tuesday for our weekly market update. We are joined by Manny Frangidakis as well as Stamatis Sastra. Gentlemen, calimera on what looks like a real, real nice early spring day, I suppose. Calimera, sas.
Calimera. Calimera. Manny, good morning. Can you explain to our listening audience why inflation goes up and stock market thinks it's good news?
That's you know, that's $1 million. We should actually say maybe $1 trillion question out there right now.
Yeah.
I can't make sense of this market, at least as of today's move, because as you're 100% right. You had CPI this morning, and you printed in line in terms of the headline, but the core, which is the more important number, ticked up. It was 1/10 higher than expectations. And inflation continues to be persistent. There are certain categories that are still running above 4%, you know, significantly higher than 2%. I just don't understand why the market is celebrating it today. It, you know, other than potentially more fiscal spending and what's going on with the deficit, that's the only thing that I could see as potentially being beneficial to the stock market. Other than that, I think it continues to put rate cuts into question. Now, we are of the belief that you do get some level of a rate cut this year. I just don't see three materializing, especially when the market was pricing in 8 to start the year, which started off this rally. So can't really make sense of why the stocks are rallying to the degree that they are, because it's not just stocks. I mean, you're seeing yields pop, gold selling off, the dollar strengthening here. Everything but stocks is telling you that it's inflationary.
And just to explain to our listening audience, you mentioned core inflation, because people what they don't, we cannot put two and two together, is like, wait a second, I see Biden in the State of the Union saying inflation is going down, and I go to the supermarket and I know I'm spending more money. So if you can explain the core inflation, all that.
Yeah, so when they say inflation is going down, don't forget you're doing it from a different, you're doing it from an adjusted level, right? So when we say inflation is going down, it's a year over year difference between what printed last year, right? So when inflation was ripping 9% in 2022, it's easy to say inflation is dropping, but significantly further from their 2% mandate. In all likelihood, look at it this way. If you're the Federal Reserve, why would you cut interest rates right now? You have stocks at all-time highs. You have Bitcoin that just hit an all-time high. You have gold that just hit an all-time high. Unemployment remains low. You raise GDP, and the economy continues to grow. So in what regard do you look at this economy and say, we need rate cuts? When usually you get a rate cut driven by the central bank, it's because something broke or something negatively occurred in the economy that you are fearful will bring contagion risk. That is when you cut rates. So I can't make sense out of the fact that you're, you know, given the economic conditions where we are right now, given where inflation is, I don't know how you make the argument that we should be cutting rates to the degree that the market's pricing in at this point in time.
Okay, that's so the other interesting thing is what you have said a long time ago, which is that the gains in the stock market appear to be not just this magnificent 7, and you have always been saying that the gains are going to start being more, you know, more broadly in other companies as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in other sectors, and you're starting to see it play out, right? So value is started to do its work and playing some level of catch up. And tech, you know, outside of what you're seeing today, has actually been a laggard for most of this time period outside of NVIDIA and Microsoft. So it's starting to play out, and we do expect that rotation to continue and not just to be a short run rotation. We think that this lasts for a significant period of time, which is could be, you know, bearish tech and bullish value.
Manny, I saw a commercial, Manny and Stamati, and I thought of you. I wanted to ask you the question today. I saw a commercial yesterday on one of the major networks where it was all go USA. You know, we work with USA companies. We manufacture. We're up and coming. I didn't even, it just kind of struck me. I'm just wondering if any of this momentum is that, you know, there is a push for us to, you know, with all this going on, you know, Are these companies undervalued? I mean, you know, in 5 years down the road, is there somebody looking into a mysterious crystal ball that's coming up with this?
They are massively undervalued. I mean, we talked about it earlier this year. It was the first time in history where you had the S&P 500 hit an all-time high while the Russell 2000 was still in bear market territory. It was the largest divergence in history. So, yeah, there's some really cheap stocks out there that have just been out of favor for the last 10 years and have been ignored by investors. Don't forget, there's no such thing as a good stock. There's good companies, there's bad companies, there's good earnings, and there's bad earnings.
Mm-hmm.
Stock prices is based off of when you purchase or what the valuation is. So there's no such thing as really a good stock. It's really like, what are the good companies? Who's raising their dividends? Who's growing their businesses? Who's growing free cash flow? And who's building a stronger moat around their business that will hopefully be impenetrable from competition in the next 2 to 3, 5 years, as you just stated, which is what the market's trying to price out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's certainly opportunities and things that investors should be considering here outside of the scope of do I own the Magnificent Seven?
Mm-hmm.
And also there was, I think, an article in Wall Street Journal how China is trying to start exporting again and trying to have their own problems. So they're targeting with lower prices and all that. That is going to be another big backlash with American companies that will get another wave of competition, people expect from China as they try to get their economy back up.
Yeah, so obviously China is in depression at this point. You know, they've been feverishly trying to stimulate their economy and create consumer spending to absorb some of this excess demand. But the theory there is, Samati, is that inflation will come down because of deflationary forces out of China, right? So them dumping product and material at significantly lower cost than what domestic producers can provide to get rid of their excess supply. And then also, you know, from a central bank theory, it's, you know, okay, if we get this deflation from China, then inflation should go down on our end and then we can cut rates. I think it's a little bit trickier than that. I think China, after being, you know, the catalyst for growth over the last couple of decades, you know, it's not something that they're going to materially be able to improve in short order. And I think it actually spells more trouble for the global economy than it does in terms of inflation, because if they start to decelerate growth, goes back to the original theory that it spells across the world. And it's hard to believe that the United States can remain an oasis of prosperity while Europe and China and other places are going through some pretty troublesome periods. Now, when you look at U.S. outperformance, it's truly all about tech. So why is the U.S. outperformed over the last 15 years? Because the U.S. stock market is stimulated with tech much more so than any other market out there. So that has benefited us to this point. And now it's a question of where do we go from here? What do the next couple years look like?
Mm-hmm. The other also, you know, industries, the pharmaceutical industry and all the bio tech. I mean, again, if people who own Lilly stock, very happy, but people who own the Pfizer stock, not so happy.
Right. Yep. It continues to be an economy of winners and losers, you know, and that's a sector that probably benefits significantly from rate cuts, just given the cost of capital and how expensive it is to go through R&D and to be able to have, you know, labor and whatnot. Don't forget, like, especially from a company's perspective, one of the parts of CPI that's going to be really tricky is the labor cost. You know, that's the highest input for any company. So labor costs continue to be one of those things within the CPI that continues to increase, which is also inflationary in its own regard.
Yeah. That's it. Teddy?
No, nothing. Manny Bryant,
We got a game tonight, 6 p.m.
And if we win, we keep going, and there's even a chance that we can make it to the dance, I heard.
Well, yeah, you got to win the tournament, right?
Right.
So going into this, they're in third place in the conference. They will be playing tonight at UMass Lowell.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a 6 or 6:30 game.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wins tonight will play the winner of the University of Vermont versus University of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And the finals for our conference will take place on Saturday afternoon. They haven't released the time or location. It just depends on who wins tonight and tomorrow between these four teams. Thanks. But yeah, if we win tonight, we go to Saturday. If we win Saturday, we're going to March Madness.
That's it. I knew you'd have the answer to that. Closing comments, Manny Stamati, on this beautiful Tuesday?
Mark Jones.
That's it. Go ahead. We'll take it there. That's Manny, crazy. Last comment. Quarterback situation for our New England Patriots.
Oh, God. I mean, it looks like you're going to end up having to draft somebody. I mean, you signed Jacoby Brissett yesterday, so now we have two backups. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Mm-hmm. I'm being kind of facetious. I mean, they'll probably have a quarterback competition. But, look, I mean, at this point in the game, you know, with Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, everybody else that was kind of a free agent going somewhere outside of Jimmy Garoppolo, which hopefully that's not something we're considering. You know, it looks like you're going to go get someone in the draft. It could be Jaden Daniels. It could be Drake May. I doubt it will be Caleb Williams, or it could be a J.J. McCarthy that you grab in the later rounds if you're, you know, you find more value in the first couple of rounds at different positions. So it'll be interesting to see how they play this plays out. But we have no experience with this coaching staff. I mean, we have no idea what they're thinking or which direction they're going to drive this team. So certainly will be fun to watch and see how it plays out. But, you know, it's not like the Patriots teams of old where you knew what Belichick was going to do or how he was going to go about the draft.
We can always count on Manny for, 12 points management and a little football talk. And let's not forget, 12 Points is a full-service firm providing individuals and families with comprehensive wealth management services, also providing corporations and organizations with retirement and business advisory services. Manny Frangidakis, each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock sharp right here on Grecian Echo, 617-212-8343. Gentlemen, have a terrific, terrific week, and we'll regroup next Tuesday right here on Grecian Echoes. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, a little music. Bye. Mike Janity has shown up. We're going to have some disco going on at 12 o'clock. Δεν έχεις το Θεό σου.